Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. I thought they're going to play a little bit more music. Amen. I was waiting on them. They looking at me. I'm looking back at them. Like, okay, who going to move first? And I guess I'm moving first. Amen. Glory be to God. It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. For he is worthy to be praised. Amen. He is a good God, an awesome God who never fails us. Amen. 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 Our call to worship scripture today will come from Proverbs 16 and in number 3. And it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. We ask now that you prepare yourself for our opening hymn 508.
Thank you. all the things you've done for me, things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express
what he has done. Let us bow our heads. Father God, thou who is all powerful and all knowing, thou who sits alone all by himself and make wise decisions for us all, we come to you this morning, Lord God, to say thank you, as we always do, because the Bible says we should always give thanks. Because we know, Father God, that all things work together for the good of those who are called according to your purpose.
You have called each and every last one of us to your body. You have called us to your family. You have called us to this vineyard. You have called us to a work. So we come to say thank you for the call. And not only thank you for the call, but why we are out here working, while we are pushing through, we thank you now for your protection. For we know that the enemy is always busy. He's constantly on his job. He's looking to see whom he can devour, who he can try, who he can trick, who he can do something against. But we know that you are our great protector. So we come this morning to say thank you. You have even encamped your angels around us to keep us while we sleep and while we slumber. Because of their protection and because of your love, we're able to rise in the morning and go on about our ways in our right mind. So we come this morning to say thank you. You're an awesome God. You are such a good God. And we do not take these things, Lord God, as small things, but they are great, because there are those who want to get up in the morning but can't. There are those who want to be in their right minds, but they are not. There are those who need your protection, but they don't have it because they have not chosen you. But today we can say thank you for you being our protector. Thank you for being our keeper. Thank you for being our Lord. Thank you for seeing us through when we can't see a way. We thank you today, Lord God, for being who you are in our lives. You're such a good God. You're such a powerful God. You're such a kind, loving, and awesome God. This morning, we offer up our thanks. In your Son Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. And let every heart say, amen. Amen. We ask now that the officers will come for the purpose of our tithing and offering.
Yeah.
Father God, we come to say thank you, Lord God, for what has been given here today. And we pray, Master, that as we make decisions, as we put our hands to these gifts, Lord God, that we bless you, Lord God, and make you happy with what we are using them for, because it does not belong to us, but it belongs to you. We thank you and ask that you continue, Lord God, to pour into us as we continue to give unto you. We ask now these blessings in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name. We pray that every heart say amen.
Every day.
Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. The song says he keeps on blessing me over and over. He keeps blessing me. And somebody ought to give God some praise in here. Because I know he's been blessing. And the Bible says that the redeemer of the Lord say so. Don't you know God wants you to give somebody your testimony? Don't you know God wants you to praise him so folks can know how good he's been to you? I gotta ask the question, has he been good to you? Oh, have mercy. He's been better to us than we've been to ourselves. What an awesome God. Let us bow. Father God, we come now asking that you be with us, Master, as we stand before your people, Lord God, to speak into their hearing what you have for them to receive. And we pray, Father, that it comes from your throne of mercy. Lord God, that it flow with power, grace, and love, and kindness, and peace, and joy. So when it reached them, it'll reach them where they are, but lift them to where you want them to be. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. I won't be before you long. I know I only have a few minutes here, so I won't be long. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Daniel 6. Daniel chapter 6, I will begin reading at that 11th verse. It said, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true. According to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Amen. Just for a few moments, I would like to deal with the subject, the Lion of Judah. The Lion of Judah. I come this morning with the desire
to add to your perception of who Jesus is. And I felt in my spirit that we need to do this because many of us have this perception that Jesus is still that baby wrapped in swaddling clothing. He's cute and cuddly and soft. And then there are some of us, we can see him as the humble lamb. And yes, I know that John the Baptist declared that he is the Lamb of God, the one who was sent to take away the world's sins. So many of us can only see him as that humble lamb. And if you're in this group, I understand, because it's hard to find something more beautiful than to have someone love you so much that they're willing to lay their life down for you. I get it. I understand. I would want to stay there as well, because he is a hero. He is precious in our sight, and all of us want to have somebody in our life who's willing to die for us. Women desire to have a man in their life who's strong enough and who's willing to go to bat for them, and if he have to, he's willing to die for them. I get it. I understand. And I know that because of this, we hear Isaiah 53 and 5 through 7 in our minds, where he says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed." And it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." It says, to go on, it says that he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before her shearer. He is dumb, and so he opened not his mouth. I want to tell you, I thank God that Jesus was willing to take on the characteristics of a quiet, humble sheep so that he can save me from a life of damnation. It was his humility that allowed us to be adopted into the family of God. And so to see him as a peaceful and humble lamb is a beautiful thing, because it was that lamb that saved us and gave us eternal life. But there's one more thing I want you to know about Jesus. When I look over in Revelations in chapter 5, verse 5, I find that Jesus has another side. I find that Jesus was called the Lion of Judah. He is more than just a cuddly baby. He is more than just a quiet, humble lamb. The Bible says that he is the Lion of Judah. Anybody ever know for a lion to be cuddly? Anybody ever know for a lion to be quiet? When you are near a lion in the jungle, you know that he's there, because he lets out a powerful roar to let you know he's in your presence. Jesus is more than a cuddly baby. He's more than a quiet lamb. He is a powerful being. And we know that over in Revelations that they are talking about Jesus, because Jesus is of the lineage of David. And David is from the tribe of Judah. And according to biblical history, Jesus is the only one to conquer the grave and go sit at the right hand of the Father and obtain the power to open the book, because he is now the Lord of all souls. So we know that in Revelations 5:5 that the revelator is talking about Jesus when he referred to the Lion of Judah. Some of us want to attest it to David because we know that David was a warrior. We know that he killed many in his battles. But I want you to know that it was talking about Jesus. There's something that we don't consider about our God. We only like for him to be nice. We like for him to be humble. We don't know in many cases that our God is ferocious. He's powerful and he's tenacious. Thank God that he is, because sometimes I need for him not to be a quiet, humble lamb. Sometimes I need Jesus to be ferocious and tenacious. I need for him to be a powerful being. And now before I dig into Daniel, because you know I have to deal with the scripture, but before I dive into Daniel's situation, I must say something about lions. Lions hunt in what they call a pride. And that pride picks out their prey. And when they pick out their prey, one of them begins to stalk their prey. They follow the prey. They observe the prey. They watch what the prey's tendencies are. They strategically see what he likes to do and what perhaps he don't like to do and how he like things done. And while that one is following the prey, the other of the pride, they go up ahead. And they hide in high grass. And they sit low in that high grass so the prey can't see them. While the one who's following them and pushing them to the others, they can't see what's going on up ahead. They're strategic in their movement. And the one who's chasing them, he begins chasing them probably about sometime while it's dark, right before morning comes. And so the prey can't really see them. I said that to say sometime your enemies, they start chasing you while you can't see. They start following you, stalking you, and observing you while you can't see, while your vision is not good. They'll follow you strategically to push you to a certain place. And lions will push their prey to a certain place. And they will only follow them for a little while. They don't follow them too long while they're watching them. Because they get to the place where they no longer think it's good to follow them. Now they want to chase you. And in them chasing you, they chase you strategically to push you to where the other lions are lying and waiting on you. And Daniel's enemy, they followed him every day. After they tricked the king into making this decree, they followed him to see what he would do. Because they realized they couldn't find anything against him. So what they did was they decided to use his relationship with God against him. Lord have mercy. Sometimes your enemy gets so big they believe that they can use your God against you. And I know that doesn't sound right, but I got to let you know that the enemy, Satan, he likes to use things that look like God to trap God's people.
Somebody miss me.
Sometimes that stuff that look good ain't good for you. Sometimes that stuff that smell good, it ain't good for you. He's strategic in his movement. He has a plan, and he has somebody there working with him so he can push you to a place where he can entrap you. These boys said that we're going to get the king to make a decree that no man can call on a god for 30 days. And they remember how Daniel would get up early every morning and face eastward and pray to his god. And not only would he do it in the morning, but he'd do it in the afternoon and at night. They realized that he would call on his god 3 times a day. They realized that his relationship with his God was a good relationship. So they knew that if they got the king to make this decree, that Daniel would not live up to the decree. Your enemy wants to put you in a place where he makes you decide between your relationship with God or to follow him. They're strategic in how they move. They're powerful in how they think because they sit in high places. And they look low. They think they don't have to answer to no one. Y'all know I'm talking. We deal with people who wants to destroy us because they've been led by the enemy. These boys thought they had Daniel. They thought, he wouldn't stop. And no, Daniel didn't stop. So they knew that the king had to live up to this decree because he made it a strict decree, which means it cannot be changed. It can't be removed. You can't save him. He must die. But what they failed to realize is when they attacked Daniel in the manner in which they attacked him, they brought another lion into play. Y'all don't hear me. Because they attacked Daniel at his relationship with God, they brought his big brother into play. And when his big brother showed up, he didn't show up like that little baby. He wasn't cuddly. He wasn't cute. When he showed up, he didn't show up like that humble lamb who didn't have anything to say, who shut his mouth and allowed man to have his way. The Bible says when he showed up with a mighty roar. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here. He showed up with a powerful roar, a roar so powerful that it changed the nature of the situation. It changed King Darius because then King Darius realized that his roar was so powerful that he had to be the one and only true God. He came to the den. He said, Daniel has thy king, thy Lord who thou serve, thy God who thou serve, has he saved you? And Daniel spoke back and said, O king, yes, he has. He shut the lion's mouth. He kept them from harming me. Listen, when the lion of Judah show up, no matter what you're going through, the situation will change. And it will change that you will be prosperous. Somebody need to give God the praise. Your enemy can't hurt you. Your enemy can't harm you. I don't care how powerful they are. I don't care where they come from. They don't have more power than the Lion of Judah. Somebody ought to give God some praise. Because some of us in here today, we're sitting in the situation. We don't know how we're going to get out. We don't know how we're going to come through. We don't know how we're going to prosper. But because we got the Lion of Judah, somebody ought to give God some praise. The lion is so powerful that he caused the lions who they was going to use to kill Daniel, to kill those who tried to trick Daniel. Somebody ought to give God some praise. They who were setting the trap fell in the trap. When you got the lion on your side, no matter how they try to trap you, the trap won't work on you. The trap will work on them. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here because you got the Lion of Judah on your side. Somebody give God some praise. He showed up not as an humble lamb.
But he showed up with power, all power in his hand. Give God the praise. Give God the praise because he showed up and destroyed Daniel's enemy. God will show up and destroy your enemy. Not only did he destroy the enemy, but he devoured the enemy. Not just the enemy, but he devoured them and their wives. Not just them and their wives, but he devoured them, their wives, and their children. In other words, God destroyed the history of your enemy. Somebody ought to give God some praise here, because when the lions show up, he'll destroy the history of your enemy. Well, you can stand with all power, stand with all grace, stand with all mercy, stand with all joy, stand with all love, because he has destroyed your enemy. Give God the praise in here. Give God the praise in here. He's worthy and to be praised. The Lion of Judah will show up, and as we like to say, he'll show out. He won't be that cuddly baby. He won't be that quiet, humble lamb that's allowing men to lead him to slaughter. But he'll show up in your situation with ferociousness, tenaciousness, power, unthinkable power. And he'll deliver you in such a way that everyone would know it was nobody but God. Give God the praise in here. The doors of the church are now open. If you do not know God and the free pardons of your sins, the time is now. The Bible says, find God while he is near. For surely there shall come a time when God cannot be found.
Father God, we come now to say thank you for what you have said here today. And we pray, Father, that we stand on the notion that you are more powerful than anything that we can face. That you are ferocious, unstoppable. There's nothing in this world greater than you. For I believe that if we stand on that, we'll be able to face our situations, our circumstances, our storms, our trials, our tribulations in a different manner. We'll stand knowing that we have with us a lion, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And now as we leave this place, we pray that you go with us and that you keep us, that you watch over us and protect us. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we do pray. And let everyone in the house sing.